We're the travel agents coming to you with tips, tricks, interviews, and voyages by cruise. The travel agents bringing you the latest travel news.
Hey, hey, welcome to the Travel Agents Podcast. I'm your host, Will.
And I'm your co-host, Brian.
And today we are talking about Pigeon Forge. And we're also joined by a dear friend of mine, Tyler.
Hey, how
are you doing, Tyler?
Not too bad. How are you guys?
Yeah, doing well. Thanks good. So much for joining us on
absolutely.
This. Absolutely. To give a little introduction, Tyler and I and a few other friends, we went to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee during Labor Day this year. And we got to experience a lot that the city had to offer. And more specifically, the Great Smoky Mountains. We spent a lot of time in the area. Brian was not with us, but he's going to be here to...
Yeah, and actually, I'm so eager to hear these two gentlemen are going to share about the Smoky Mountains in Tennessee, because this has always been an intriguing destination for a lot of our clients at the travel agency.
Yeah.
I recognize that specifically now during COVID, many Americans are looking for destinations that are primarily outdoor-based, mm-hmm. Which is why... going to a big city that's heavily, it's museum heavy and things of that nature just really aren't going to be conducive during COVID. And so our travel agency has gotten more requests for Tennessee than I ever thought possible. So I will leave the floor open to you two, and I'm eager to learn.
Yeah, absolutely. The Smoky Mountains is the most popular national park in the United States. It's more popular than Yosemite. It's more popular than Yellowstone, and it's more popular than Grand Canyon. I think it's because it's so close. It's on the East Coast, and it's so close to Philadelphia, New York, DC, all that good stuff. So it is really popular, and it is one of the only places on the East Coast that you can actually see mountains, at least in the South. You know, you can get mountains in the North, but in the South, it's really the only place that's widely available. But we wanted to kick off the episode by talking about our defining words, so let's just go and roll into the segment.
Here's three words to help you. Here's our defining words.
Tyler and I, we had some struggles coming up with three defining words for this trip in specifically, mm-hmm. because the words that we came up with were so overlapping. One that came to mind was nature. Mm-hmm. And I mean, Tyler, would you agree that there's just so many nature activities?
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, there were like so many trails. There was, I mean, you could, anywhere you outside of like the Pigeon Forge Central, I mean, you could pretty much go anywhere you want to take some awesome pictures or just like chill out in nature.
Yeah. So many opportunities to do kayaking, tubing, whitewater rafting. And yeah, just like you said, there's so many different hikes from beginner mm-hmm. level to moderate level to, I would say, seasoned veteran level hiker. Mm-hmm. And if you are into hiking, there, like I said, there's just so many great ones.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
We're going to get more into it, but one of the trails that we did was a trail for Alum Cave to Mount LeCompte. Mm-hmm. Mount LeCompte is one of the bigger points in Pigeon Forge area, and a few of us went to the very top of it, and it was a very beautiful sight.
I didn't.
And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that trail. We're going to talk about our experience doing the hikes in the Smokies and all of its difficulties.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the other thing we're talking about was just like family friendly kind of feel. Yeah. Like,
yeah, that was our other word for mm-hmm. sure. It was family, how family friendly the Pigeon Forge area. Pigeon Forge is right next to Gatlinburg and Sayreville. They all kind of almost create like a triangle of 5 miles away from one another. Mm-hmm. And it's just this really cool little area that families can experience, something that really does rival like a Myrtle Beach experience.
Exactly. Yeah. I grew up going to Myrtle Beach a lot, and it felt like there's a main drag down Pigeon Forge. It felt very similar to that. I mean, there were a couple of mini golfs. There were, yeah, I mean, like little stores, like knickknacks kind of stuff.
Yeah. You had like the Ripley's Museum, believe it or not, type stuff.
Big crab on a restaurant kind of feel.
Yeah. Magic Quest, which is one of your childhood favorites.
Which I'm a little upset about, but it's fine. It's fine.
And while we're on the topic of location, Pigeon Forge, it's about 3 hours east of Nashville and 1 hour east of Knoxville.
Okay. Yeah. We did drive through Knoxville, or at least my car did. We went through Knoxville, and it was definitely a different experience to what you guys had. There are two main highways that go through the area. I believe it's Route 81 and Route 71, all the way to Route 75. And if you're coming from the north like we did in Ohio, if you're coming from Pennsylvania, I recommend trying to stay on Route 81 if you can. It's a little less busy, a lot less major cities to go through.
Yeah, coming home, I think we beat you guys back by about 2 hours, maybe?
I think you beat us by 3 hours.
Wow.
Yeah, it was quite the difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you can, make sure you're not doing a route that takes you through major cities. It adds up. It really does.
Unless you're trying to stop somewhere on the way back.
But yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, when you guys say family friendly, my first thought, I think, to my brother and my sister, who both have, you know, 1 and 2 year olds at home. And when I think of trails and mountains, I think of cliffs and danger.
Yeah, the hikes to the high viewpoints on the top of the mountains, they're not family friendly.
Got it.
I think we maybe saw maybe a dozen kids throughout this 8 hour long hike.
So the first place we went to, what was that one called? With the concrete?
Tyler, great point. That was Klingsman's Dome.
Yeah.
It's on the border of Tennessee and North Carolina. Mm. It's actually in North Carolina, but it's only, I would say, 45 to 60 minutes away from Pigeon Forge.
Yeah, it was just past this. It was the same route as the Allen Cave Trail, so it made sense to just go a little past that and then come back.
Exactly, yeah. And Klingsman's Dome, that's a perfect example of a place that's pretty family friendly. It's a high incline, but it's only a mile long, and it's not undoable. And you do get this really beautiful view of North Carolina and Tennessee. Mm-hmm. It's really cool. So if you're looking for something that's a little bit more family friendly, you want to see a really cool sight, you don't have to spend 8 hours to do it.
Yeah. And it's a great place to see like the smoke of the Smoky Mountains like the very top. Like,
so Smoky Mountains isn't just a name. There was a reason.
Yeah, there's a reason. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially earlier in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, there's so many different kind of hikes like that, from beginner level to expert level, kind of like how we said, but to the family oriented point, there's so many dinner show activities you can do things, and we're gonna talk about this in depth. Mm-hmm. But there's the Dolly Parton show, there's the Hatfield and McCoys, there's the Pirates Voyage show. Mm-hmm. I think
there were a bunch of shops, like there's like an old mill area is like main area that's there's a good, really good restaurant there that we actually went to,
the old mill restaurant.
Yeah, which is super good, and a bunch of little shops, just like fun little, I don't know, just walk around, outdoor shopping kind of stuff. There are a bunch of alpine coasters, which we didn't do, they look wild, but basically you're just sitting in some little cart. I think some of them may have been on like burlap sacks, some of them on little carts, and like you're just going down a track in a mountain. They look insane, but that would be...
Individually, one at a time?
Yeah, there may have been some that are like doubled up, but I think it was mostly individual. Yeah. And there were definitely some bigger ones and some smaller ones I think would be better for like different age children.
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. Definitely. It really seemed like that. If you drive through Pigeon Forge, you'll see at least two, maybe three.
For sure.
And as you get closer into the mountains, you'll see even more. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, the other area was the island, I think is what it's called, which we didn't make it into that either. We were definitely there more, I feel like, for the outdoor stuff. But it's if you know Myrtle Beach, it's supposed to be similar to like the Broadway at the Beach or Barefoot Landing type area where there's some more shops and just like some fun stuff to do. They had like one of those big old... like, I don't know how tall towers with the swing off of it, like the crazy, scary looking thing.
Yeah, so like, yeah, yeah. Like you have those like, sort of extreme, like you have those extreme adventure swing type things, like you said. And the island is this great place to spend the night with a family, just instead of hitting up the town, you hit up the island. Mm-hmm. Wow. They have all these shops. They have things that are for adults, like moonshine distilleries, but they have ice cream, they have restaurants, they have this huge Ferris wheel that gives you this really great view of Pigeon Forge and the area. I would imagine we didn't get to do it.
So for our defining words, we've talked about nature, family friendly with plenty of activities for all age ranges. Do we have a third defining word?
It's hard to give it more than three defining words without going too specific into topics that we want to talk about more in depth later on in the show. But really, the area can be defined by being very nature heavy and being a place that is really family oriented. If you like Myrtle Beach, but you're tired of the ocean and tired of the beach life and you want something different, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Sayreville, that little area is perfect alternative to Myrtle Beach.
Yeah, or if you want that same kind of feel, but you're more into hiking and outdoors stuff, kind of like that.
Absolutely. So that kind of concludes like the defining words. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, with that, we can get into our highs and our lows of the trip.
I can't wait.
Sometimes things are good, sometimes they're bad too. It's highs, lows, coming to you.
All right, so Tyler, I don't know about you, but one of the highs for me was actually the hike that we did. And
I loved it. I'm just not in shape.
Hey, honestly, okay, so
appreciate the honesty.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, on it I was extremely tired by the end of it. To recap, this was in the Smokies. Mm-hmm. It is a very intense trail. If you're familiar with all trails, it's listed as moderate. If you're not familiar with all trails, it's listed as moderate, but that's probably more for seasoned vets of hiking. It's more so on the extreme side. We're talking an 8-hour hike from top to bottom, all the way back, round trip, 8 hours, 15-mile hike. But the really cool thing about it is if you don't want to do all of it, there is a really cool halfway point about 2.3 miles into the trail called Alum Cave, which is the trail, the namesake of the trail. And here at this cave, it's, I don't even think it's actually a cave. It's more just...
No, I would not call it a cave. It's more like a large overhang kind of a feel.
It, yeah. It has like a cave feel, cave experience to it, but you're not going into this.
It's like you're going deep into cavern. Something. It's,
yeah.
Yeah. You're just kind of like, you're kind of under something more than you're in something, but it's still beautiful.
Yeah. Honestly, the hike to Alum Cave was one of my favorite parts of it. Cause you're just seeing these really gorgeous, small waterfalls, not huge waterfalls, but just a lot of this huge creek activity.
Yeah. In my mind, I kind of broke it up into three parts because there was a, like the beginning, the first part of it there, it was pretty easy. It was like pretty low grade and you're just along this river and it's awesome. Like you're kind of crossing over it every now and then, but you're really along this river the whole time, which is super nice. It was cool and it was beautiful. It was great. And then I don't know what the distance was, but it definitely takes a turn and it starts getting a lot more steep. So there's almost kind of two places you could turn around if you're not going to go all the way up. You could kind of turn around. I think I remember there being some very steep steps like through this rock, which is also super cool. But I think that was kind of like the, okay, now we're like on a hike, not just on a walk through the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. The beginning of it, I would agree. You're protected by the canopy of the forest and it is a little bit more relaxed.
But then once you make that turn, then you're going and then you get a break in the trees and you see the view and it's worth it.
It is. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So after we got to Alum Cave, half the group decided to turn back and the other half decided to continue. Mm-hmm. Tyler, you were part of the group to turn back.
You're darn right.
Yeah. And I don't blame you. There was definitely parts during the hike that I was wondering if I should have turned back. Mm-hmm. But to quickly talk about the second half of the hike from Alum Cave to Mount Lecompte, it's another 2.5 miles, I think, you have to go. And so when you do the 2.5, at the end of it, you're met with this camp on the top of the mountain. And there's refreshments. There's opportunities to eat food. There's water there.
A lodge kind of.
Yeah, there's a lodge and there's some cabins there. If you want to stay the night there, you can. If you make reservations in advance, you do the hike, you get to the lodge, and you can rest for the night. You don't have to come all the way back down. You can take your time up on the top of the mountain because there's a few other viewpoints at the top from the camp itself that are just a maybe 10, 15 minute hike away. But from the camp, if you get your refreshments, you get a bathroom break, all that stuff. We went to the Mount Lecompte viewing point, which was just this beautiful, wide open view of the Smokies. Pretty similar to the viewpoint that you could see in Klingsman. You can actually see Klingsman's dome from this viewpoint, but it is really cool. There was a portion of it that kind of felt like you were walking through a fairy tale, like this like really young moss kind of stuff. So that was pretty cool.
This sounds great. Remind me of the trail name that we're on at this point.
This entire time we're on Alum Cave Trail.
Alum. How do you spell Alum?
A-L-U-M.
Nice.
And you're going all the way to Mount Lecompte.
Okay.
And that was cool. And if you don't want to do that specific trail, but you want to go to Mount Lecompte, there are other options. There is one option actually that you might see this donkey caravan that are bringing supplies to the camp that's up top on Mount Lecompte. So there are other opportunities. I've heard that the other trails are longer. They might not be as intense, but they're longer. So you're going to spend probably some more time. Mm-hmm. All in all said and done, the trail was about 14 miles round trip. But I do recommend at least going to Alum Cave.
Mm-hmm. How long do you think it took you to do the full trail.
Just to like the, well, the like, viewpoint, that last viewpoint?
Yeah, to that peak and then back. Yeah.
Took about, I think it took 5 hours.
Okay.
And I think it took us about 2 hours to get down, I think.
That sounds about right. It was definitely faster for us coming back. It was about half the time.
But that was definitely one of my highs. Mm-hmm. Do you have a high that comes to mind?
I mean, I loved, even though I was struggling there a couple of times, I did love that trail. I loved walking like that first bit through the woods where you're just kind of walking along that river. I love like creaking kind of stuff. So that was, that was really fun for me. And then coming back when we were taking our leisure walking through there, we did kind of go in there a little bit more and play around in the water some more, which was nice. But yeah, just the view even from our like our halfway point, but then up at not the cave, the first place, I can't remember what it was called again, the concrete tower guy.
Oh, Klingsman's Dome?
Yes, that's the one. That was really cool too. We took a bunch of pictures up there. Just a huge unobstructed view, like that was that was crazy.
360 view.
Yeah. There's it's the highest point, and then like the highest point mountain, and then they put you up about another 100 feet up this concrete tower, and so you can just see everywhere. And we were there pretty early in the morning, and so there was some fog, there was some mist. You couldn't maybe see as far as you could have at other times during the day, maybe, but like it was still just, it was like, it was majestic. I don't know.
And you guys had, even after the trail, you guys had a cool experience because you guys saw one of the black bears, right?
Yeah, we were in our car, thankfully, I suppose. But yeah, we were driving back, and there was, and this maybe speaks into a little bit of what could be considered a downside, but there was just a lot of traffic leaving this trail because we left a little early. And we're like, what the heck? Like, why are we, what are we behind? We were stuck behind here. Like, did somebody like turn around in like the middle of the road? And we got up to this point, kind of like just over a little ridge, and we saw like the front car stopped. And we're like, what the heck are they doing? Just go. Like, we got places to be. And then we looked over on the side, and there was like literally 5 feet off the road, a black bear just kind of chilling. Wow. We're like, okay, we get it. Yeah.
Right.
And then we stopped too. So we were part of the problem.
You took your turn. Well, well-deserved turn.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I think another high for the group, I can say this as the group, there's 8 of us. And I know for a fact for a lot of the people in the group, one of the highs was the tubing that we did. Brian, have you ever gone tubing before?
No.
I recommend it.
Yeah.
And I recommend it in Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge area. It was really cool. We went with
it was like lazy river tubing.
Some
people hear tubing and think like on a lake behind a boat tubing, and that's that's also tubing. Lazy river, more that's the style.
Yeah, there were some more intense moments.
There were some rapids.
Yeah, and that was really fun. It was nice break from the lazy river. We had some alcohol, some people got to drink some drinks, got to just relax as a group and just hang out.
It was really nice to do because we did that the day after the hikes, and so it was be doing anything.
Yeah.
So you recommend a relaxing day after the active day.
You got it.
Yeah, absolutely. We went with, go ahead, Brian.
Please, why don't you start, then I'll go.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that we went with River Rat. There are a few vendors in the area that you can go with for tubing, whitewater rafting, and kayaking, but I recommend
three or four others.
Yeah.
There's definitely options.
Absolutely. I recommend River Rat. They kind of have a stranglehold on like the cool areas of the river that you're going to be on. And you have Route A, which is longer but more relaxed. And then you have Route B, which has more intense rapids and it's shorter, but you get access to both. And you can go in an unlimited amount of times. My one recommendation, though, if you go, we were surprised how cold the water was.
Oh, yeah.
It was 85 outside. It was a nice, beautiful day.
Yeah.
The water had to be around 65, 70. Ooh.
It was very cold.
Very cold.
But you got used to it.
You did get used to it, but brace yourself.
Yeah. So another recommendation that I definitely have is to have some sort of like water shoe.
Yeah.
Because there were moments where I had to get out. I think there were two of us that had water shoes. One of the other us had to get out and kind of like pull somebody out of a little like whirlpool they got themselves sucked into or something like that.
You might have to kick off rocks too.
Or that. Yeah. So I would definitely recommend having a good pair of water shoes.
Tyler, that's such a good point, because something like water shoes or something that you just might forget about that night before at 2 a.m. when you're trying to pack up and remember everything. So it's funny when you're talking about hiking and being outdoors, the very practical travel agent in me wants to ask you about packing, boots, backpacks, how much, what did you do for water and food, and were there any fees to be aware of in the national parks, and if so, do they take credit cards or debit or cash, and then what kind of hiking resource did you have, and toilets and food and snacks on the hike? But we're going to save those for the standby items, so make sure to hang tight, wait for the standby items. What I want to hear about next is your low for this trip.
Tyler, do you want to talk about the low?
Yeah, sure. Like I kind of alluded to earlier, I would say definitely the traffic, specifically in Pigeon Forge, although we definitely hit it a little outside for the for the hike as well. And with that, just like the amount of people that were there. And we were there over, what was it? Was it Labor Day?
Yeah, Labor Day weekend. Yeah.
So that was possibly a mistake, maybe. I don't know.
Possibly.
But obviously, we still got to do some great stuff. But yeah, there were definitely a lot of people. We had talked to a store clerk at this little convenience store that we stopped at. And she said, I don't think it was this weekend that we were there, but the weekend before and the weekend after, there was some car show also going on. Mm. So not only was it a holiday weekend, but there were also people getting in there early or leaving late from this car show. We did see some interesting cars.
We did.
But it was there were times we tried to go get pizza one night, and it took us 2 hours to drive 15 minutes, essentially. Yeah. So that was rough.
Yeah, we had a really similar experience. After mm-hmm. our grueling hike that we did, Tyler and the rest of the group were on their way to get pizza. Mm-hmm. We didn't know the traffic situation that they were involved in, but we were really quickly experiencing it for ourselves, and we were stuck in traffic for mm-hmm. about 2.5 hours. A 20-minute drive.
Yeah.
Took us 2.5 hours. So mm-hmm. that's something to keep in mind.
Definitely check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Check if there's an event going on before, during, or after the weekend that you want to go. Mm-hmm. And I think you can basically just Google search events in Pigeon mm-hmm. Forge, and you can type in dates, and there will be something that'll pop up. Mm-hmm.
This is really interesting because it kind of falls in line with other destinations I've been to that have been very mountainous.
Yeah.
In general, when it comes to the mountains, there's usually the one road.
Yes.
as opposed to
for sure.
Yeah. Destination
and they're one lane roads too.
Man. Yeah, they're one lane roads, one main road. I've had recommendations of checking the side roads, but I think it's a widely known tip at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of people know about the side roads, and mm-hmm. the side roads get inundated with cars, and you don't really avoid the traffic.
Yeah.
So my best recommendation is try and figure out a quiet weekend, so to speak, mm-hmm. in terms of events, and you'll probably beat the traffic. Because like I said, it's the most popular park in the United States.
Wow.
More popular than the Grand Canyon and Yosemite. I mean, just keep that in mind. There are a lot of people that are going to this area.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, probably like the number of people there were probably pretty similar to like what you'd see in like a Myrtle Beach on like a regular weekend.
Yeah.
But it's a much smaller area.
Yes, it is a lot smaller than Myrtle mm-hmm. Beach. I mean, honestly, I know we keep saying that it's like Myrtle Beach, but it really is Myrtle mm-hmm. Beach in the mountains.
Hey, for the family that's been to Myrtle Beach 5 or 6 years in a row.
Absolutely.
Check out Gatlinburg Pigeon Forge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm ready for the next segment.
Let's do it. let's roll in the standby items.
Fantastic.
Actually, no, you know what? Let's roll into tips.
It's even better.
Tips from the travel agents.
So we have a few tips for this trip. One of them being, if you're looking for places to stay, specifically if you're looking for cabins in the area, maybe an Airbnb or what have you, I have to recommend that you go for a cabin that's not high up in the mountains, because in this area, in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Sayreville, you're looking at a lot of roads that are windy, and you can get car sick very easily on these roads. I know Tyler and myself and two other guys, we had some experiences and some mm-hmm. struggles with some of the
very
car sickness.
Kinda,
Yeah. We had a few moments where we just needed some breaks and we needed the windows open. Mm-hmm. But one of the other perks of getting a cabin in the woods and not high up is that you're closer to town. You don't have these 45-minute drives mm-hmm. over just windy road just to get back to civilization, really.
Right.
So I do just really want to hammer the point home that if you're looking for places to stay outside of the cities themselves, mm-hmm. get some cabins that are just in the woods, not necessarily high up in the mountains.
And they had plenty of hotels and motels and that kind of stuff in there because it is such a populated area. And we saw some really cool looking cabins up in the hills too. And if you're into that, go for it. But just know you're going to have a drive.
You're going to have a drive for sure. And if you're car sick, if you get car sickness, mm-hmm. keep that in mind. It's a test, definitely. But Tyler, you had another tip, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously you've got this place very touristy. You got a lot mm-hmm. of places to eat. The first night we got there, we were like, okay, let's just head into town. Let's find some place to eat.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of like a little area that's almost a little set apart from the rest of it. It's kind of all got the same feel. It's called like the Old Mill area.
This is in Pigeon Forge.
Yes. This is in Pigeon Forge. So the restaurant we ate was the Old Mill restaurant. And it's just classic. Like if you looked up in an encyclopedia, what is home style food, like home cooking, like this is the place that you would see.
Family style too.
Oh
right?
yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Well, It was. I think it was. There may have been some options. I don't know, but we all ordered individual plates.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the appetizers and the sides were family style.
But yeah, just super good Southern. I don't know.
Comfort food.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It was comfort food too.
It was really tasty.
And in the area, you had all these Old Mill. Branded things.
Right next to there was moonshine place with a bunch every flavor of moonshine you could possibly think of, and some that you wouldn't have thought of, but they exist. All kinds of stuff there. Yeah. Some little gift shops, Old Mill gift shops, so that kind of stuff. Shops, kitchen store kind of thing with like home country cooking. Farmhouse kind of styled kitchen utensils and kitchenware, stuff like that. They had a lot of like pre-bagged recipes for like soups. So just like random stuff like that. Just stuff that you could throw together real quick.
It had a cool little outdoor mall vibe going on. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
Yeah. All very walkable. Like, so you're done eating and you just like head out and there's tons of stuff to just see and just walk around too and walk off some of that.
Yeah.
Biscuits and gravy.
So when I think Pigeon Forge, should I just be thinking old country diner with eggs and grits and apple pie and mashed potatoes and gravy? Or is it touristy enough that you can find fast food chains and Chinese restaurants?
There's quick bites.
Like we're talking about earlier. I mean, there's a couple pizza joints, easy stuff like that. There's another place we went to that was just like a regular like pub style kind of food. They've got runs
plenty
the
of options.
Oh yeah,
plenty of options. Mm-hmm. There was another tip I wanted to give for families. There are two opportunities for ski lift viewing options. There's one in Gatlinburg and there's one in Pigeon Forge. The one in Gatlinburg, you can buy a ticket to this ski lift. It takes you up to obviously a higher point. And at this higher point is this sky bridge. And the sky bridge is see-through at parts. So you have this 2,000 foot bridge that's up in the air. You get some kind of cool, almost Grand Canyon. What's that thing at the Grand Canyon? We have like the
skywalk.
Yeah, the skywalk. You kind of have the skywalk thing going on at this. And it's this, it's the highest, longest foot sky bridge in the United States. It's in Tennessee. It's in Gatlinburg. So you take a chairlift, ski lift, whatever you want to call it, up to this point. It's really cool. Just a few bucks. Yeah.
All right. That makes me feel better because earlier when you told everyone not to get an Airbnb or a cabin up in the mountains because of the 45-minute drive, I felt the hearts sinking of our listeners thinking, oh no, we were hoping to be able to capture those amazing mountaintop views.
Yeah.
But I appreciate this because this gives me hope that, you can definitely get those mountaintop views while staying closer to town, closer to civilization, and a much closer drive to keep the kids and the spouse happy for trying to go get food and gas.
Yeah, absolutely. You got that in Gatlinburg. That's one option. Another option in Pigeon Forge is called Anakista, and it's definitely geared towards family. Again, you pay a fee and you take a chairlift to this area, a very designated area with some outdoor restaurants that overlook a valley. You got another mountain view opportunities. I think they have a brewery there as well. They have obstacle courses for the kids that are up in the trees. That seems really cool. And there's also an alpine coaster that you can pay an additional fee to get access to. And if I remember correctly, I think you might get unlimited access to it. Once you pay the fee, you can just keep going. So that's a really cool option. It's called Anakista. It's a really cool option for families.
You know, we've shared so many great activities for families, and hiking trails and whatnot. But I have heard about these gorgeous overlook restaurants with the floor to ceiling glass where you look out, get a great view. And I guess my question is, can this be a romantic destination? Can a couple go here and enjoy, or is it really just that? Is it too family focused?
No, I think you could.
I think so.
Yeah, you might have. Well, and so for this trip specifically, and I have not been to Gatlinburg. We didn't go to Gatlinburg on this trip.
True.
But I do have friends that took their honeymoon to Gatlinburg. But I think what you could do, I mean, the cabin that we stayed in was a 10 to 15 minute drive from like the city center. So you could stay there and go around the city and not even see it. So I think you could definitely stay somewhere that is secluded enough to have that time and maybe pop in the city if you want to for a fun activity or something like that. But you could definitely tailor it more to that side if you wanted to.
And go during school season when the kids are in school.
Absolutely.
And you can have your romantic getaway. Mm. I like it.
I think that wraps up for the tips. I mean, did you have any questions that you had?
I think the last thing, we've talked about driving a lot. You need a car here.
That's a good point.
For sure.
Very good point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really good point. You definitely need a car. Mm.
I guess just one question I have is cell phones. From a guy who does not have Verizon.
Yeah.
Did any of you not have Verizon as well? Because when I think of mountains and when I think of being out in the wilderness, the cell reception is an issue. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in our group has Verizon.
I don't think so. It was an issue at times, especially when we got low into areas on the beginnings of the trail or something like that. Down in the mountains, you're nothing. There were... I think Klingman's Dome, I think I might have had signal on the top of there.
Oh, really? Okay. I was going to say, I think at the high points, I know for Alum Cave, as we continue to get higher, we definitely lost signal. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was spotty, but in Pigeon Forge and even our 15 minutes out cabin, we had relatively good signal. It was a little slow.
Yeah. It was bogged down for sure.
Yeah. Because of how many people were there.
Yeah.
I think. But yeah, it's you could still use your GPS to get around. If you needed that.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, when you have eight millennials together all trying to download their favorite podcasts.
Obviously,
it's going to get bogged down. I do have questions for your standby items, so I'm eager to get into that.
Yeah, let's roll into it.
It's safety and other info with standby items. Here we go.
I'm curious of how packing works. This doesn't seem like your average Cancun weekend or Miami Beach weekend as far as packing. I'm hearing a lot of being out in the wilderness. I'm worried about, should I pack shorts or do I pack pants so as not to get hit by pricker bushes and layering and backpacks and how much weight and water bottles and snacks and granola bars. It all makes me nervous. So what did you do for packing? And if you're flying there and you can't bring all that stuff on the flight, are there good resources in town to grab your granola bars and water bottles and things of that sort?
Yeah, there are a few superstores like Walmart that you can go if you feel like you haven't prepared or you need some other options. So yeah, mm-hmm. there's places to go to.
Yeah, I mean, general packing. So we were there for 4 days, two full days. So mm-hmm. Drove down day, drove back. I mean, I don't feel as though I packed an excessive amount of stuff. I mean, you got we'll go with layering. That is a good idea. So the first trail that we did up to the Klingman's Dome, that was early, early in the morning, and it was cold.
It was.
And windy because it was exposed.
This is September, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's definitely worth having something that you can take off, something like a light jacket or a windbreaker or something like that. But then once we got down to the Alum Cave Trail, it was pretty warm, pretty comfortable. And then especially because you're working up a sweat on this more difficult trail.
And it got cold again as you got higher in the altitude.
Mm-hmm. But by then you worked up a little bit. It was comfortable to a point. I didn't go as high as you guys did, so I don't know for sure.
It wasn't too bad. It wasn't as bad as Klingsman in the morning, sure. But I would recommend if you're going to wear layers, make sure they're sheddable.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
sheddable layers.
Yeah.
And do I need hiking boots or am I going to be fine with my old tennis shoes?
I'd recommend a good pair of tennis shoes at the least.
At the least, yeah.
And one that's like kind of broken in.
Yeah, it depends on like how intense of a hike you're going. I mean, with the hike that we did, you would be fine with tennis shoes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and the other thing too, like I'm worried about like getting like scratched up by like pricker bush or something like that. There were very clear trails.
Very clear.
Yeah.
So well-maintained trails.
For the two that we did, well-maintained. Yeah, very, very good point. So that was not an issue. If you went off, maybe, but even the small bit that I did go off, like when we were walking around that creek, I didn't have any issues. And shorts were fine.
Did it rain on you guys at all? What would you have done?
Just got wet.
Yeah. I don't know if we would have done we knew in advance that the trail that we did was going to take anywhere from a half day to a full day.
Yeah.
And if it would have rained, we wouldn't have done it. I don't think it would have made a hard trail. Extremely difficult.
That's very true.
Check the weather forecast, make sure it's not going to rain that day. I got it.
The beginning was there were parts that were paved almost.
Yeah.
But then once you made that turn, like I talked about earlier, it was all dirt trail. So it would have been, but there were some paved parts later. There were some like wood steps at points, but like, it would have been muddy and difficult if it was wet.
Difficult. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're an hour, hour and a half into the hike. You've been drinking water, and you just got to use the restroom.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're in the
for
woods.
Guys, it's pretty easy, yeah. But you have wives. I mean, I'm just curious. Well, you know, was there?
We had
there facilities.
Yeah, there are facilities there, but they are a dime a dozen. Yeah, yeah. Beginning and end, they are available. And by end, I'm talking the full trail. Not there's no bathrooms at Alum Cave. That's considered the halfway point.
Yeah, that's you're on the trail at that point. Yeah,
yeah. But you're in the woods. If you can sneak away and get some privacy, we had a few girls that did do it.
All right, all right. And then go ahead.
I was saying, were there facilities at the top of the trail there?
There were.
Okay.
Yeah, and.
They're woods facilities. I mean,
yeah, they're woods. They stink. They are the grossest bathrooms I've ever seen.
Sure.
Klingsman's Dome was awful, but yeah. So keep that in mind.
Bring your own toilet paper, or do they have that?
It's maybe, hey, if you go through during COVID, consider it a blessing that you have a mask because it will give you some reprieve.
A mask regardless, it sounds like.
Yeah. Bring a mask to go to the bathroom if you're going to these woods bathrooms.
Yeah.
Will and Tyler, did you have a hiking resource prior? Seems like in a destination that has so many trails, how did you know to pick this one epic trail? I mean, did you ask people when you got there? Did you research? Do you have a resource or a website you can recommend?
So I built the itinerary, and I did use something that's called All Trails. All Trails, if you're not familiar, I did mention it earlier in the podcast, but basically what All Trails is, it's just a working database of trails all throughout the United States and popular trails around the world. So you can search Pigeon Forge and a bunch of trails will pop up and give you some recommendations, and they will list what they say is moderate, strenuous, or easy. But keep in mind, this is at the perspective of experienced hikers. So
or at
moderate,
least people who do it regularly.
Yeah. So moderate can be very difficult to your average Joe. I recommend if you're going to use All Trails, maybe look into the comments, get some recommendations. Mm-hmm. At that point, we also did have, we do have two really close friends that are really into hiking. Mm-hmm.
And they were with us on the trip.
Mike and they were on they were on the trip with us. And one of them did actually do this trail, and he did give us a warning that it was a difficult trail, but it's doable to do in a day, but it was tough. Yeah. So we had some experience as well as some resources to guide us on this hike.
Yeah. And one thing I just thought of that could go back into a tip. So for this whole, even for the half of this long trail that I did, we did pack some sandwiches like in a backpack.
Yeah, that helped.
And I would have died if not for that. I mean,
that extra calories goes a long way.
Yeah. So that's super important. We made some what kind of sandwiches?
Like turkey and cheese, something real simple.
Yeah, just something real basic that just keeps well and we didn't have a cooler or anything like that, so it was room temperature, outdoor temperature. It was fine. It was what it was. Yeah, water bottles. I think somebody had a Camelback.
Yeah, our experienced hikers.
Yeah, they did. But yeah, you're definitely going to want to bring some water. You definitely going to want to bring some snacks.
You absolutely need to bring water and hikes.
Yeah,
for especially sure. Here in Tennessee, it is hot.
Yeah,
most of the year it is hot.
Mm-hmm.
So this definitely sounds like you're hiking during the day. No one brought flashlights. The sun didn't go down on you during the
hike. A good point. We did have flashlights. I made it a point, hey, just in case we're on our way down, we might need flashlights. Let's bring them. So we had them, but we didn't need them.
I always find that whenever you can mitigate the possibility of additional fees on any trip, my clients are always the most happy with me. So my first thought is, were there any fees in regards to parking, going on trails? Are these national parks? Are these private? Anything of that sort?
So you are in the Great Smokies National Park. So it is a national park. We didn't pay any fees for parking, but the more popular trails are very popular. And there were several cars that got stuck or flipped over because we had to park on these windy roads, on the side of these windy roads. Parking was very sparse.
Yeah, it was difficult. We probably had about a solid 10-minute walk from where we parked to the trailhead for Alum Cave.
Yeah. And I think on that 10-minute walk, we saw two cars that were getting towed or in the process.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were a couple. And they did not park in good spots. There was plenty of space in areas mm-hmm. to park off the road. But you are parallel parking on a busy one-lane road.
Yeah. In the mountains. And they didn't get towed because of the parking itself. They got towed because their car flipped.
Yes. Yeah.
Or
slid off the trail or not yeah. trail off the road.
Yeah.
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 Because they tried to fit in a spot that they shouldn't have tried to fit into.
Go early if you're doing a long day hike. Mm-hmm. If you're doing a short hike and it's a popular trail, if it's considered popular, go early, go later in the day. You'll beat the traffic. You probably won't ever have a parking spot available.
And now that could be a time that it could make sense to try and get a Uber or something to one of those trails.
Maybe
we
yeah.
didn't try to look into that because we had cars and we weren't going to try for that.
Yeah, we had too many people
as well. But that could be a possibility. But you might be waiting a long time either way.
Yeah, for sure.
Do I need cash to tip anyone when I go to the Smoky Mountains?
I mean, just your normal restaurant tipping. Yeah, but
if you prefer to use cash. If not, they everywhere took cards.
Yeah, there's no. You know, service or anything that you might experience that you'll need cash. No.
All right. Well, I'm excited to go to the Smoky Mountains. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to check out trails. I'll be yeah. ready. I'll have my backpack with sandwiches and granola bars and a good thermos of water. I'll be cognizant of parking and getting a nice early jump on the morning. And
yeah.
And I don't need to book that mountaintop cabin. I can stay low and close to town, mm-hmm. and then I can take the ski lifts up to get those gorgeous views to impress all my Facebook friends.
Options. That would have been a good third word at the beginning. Options.
Yeah, that's a good point, Tyler. Yeah. That's a really good point. Mm-hmm. Options. There are a few things that we haven't talked about, and that has to do with Dolly Parton. if you don't know, Dolly Parton's from the area, and she does have Dollywood, which is a really popular amusement park. If you're into amusement parks and thrill rides,
Or Dolly Parton.
Yeah, that's a good point. Dollywood is something to check out.
Mm-hmm. Some people might have clicked on this podcast just for Dolly Parton. For so
yeah.
you better get our Dolly Parton in.
So we did go during COVID. So Dollywood was closed down. We mm-hmm. could not go even if we had time. But I do hope to experience one day because it is a really popular place. And
it's an attraction.
I can safely say without even going, I probably would recommend it just from what I've read. But there is another thing to Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg area, and that's their dinner shows. And like Myrtle Beach, there's plenty of them. The one that we went to was Dolly Parton Stampede, and that was not our original choice. Our original choice was the Hatfield and McCoy's, but it only seats six at a time. So if you have more people than six, you might struggle to sit together for the Hatfield and McCoy's. So we opted to do Dolly Parton Stampede, where there's a lot more seating opportunities. Mm-hmm. However, it's very family oriented. So if you are in your 20s, like our group was kids.
Late 20s.
Yeah. There's some cool events with animals. So if you're into animals, you might enjoy it. But it is really kid friendly. That's something
I would venture because in Myrtle Beach I saw the Pirates one, which is the same show that is in
Pigeon Forge.
I believe it's the same show. Yeah. And I would agree that one is still very tailored towards children, but they're different shows.
Yeah,
absolutely. Might be something different for different people who like different stuff. The Pirates one I remember being very acrobatic, like a circus. Like there were people shooting out of cannons, and it was very exciting. Dolly Parton was a lot more, like animal tricks. Also mm-hmm. very exciting, but a little more like where Pirates felt chaotic and there was so much going on, it was hard to kind of see what was happening. Dolly Parton was very like you were focusing on the one person doing their awesome thing.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I recommend going on a dinner show, depending on who you're going with, I would look into the Pirate show, mm-hmm. maybe the Hatfields and McCoys, maybe check out, I think the Comedy Barn is another really popular mm-hmm. Popular one. So you got options.
Yeah.
But I mean, Tyler, did you have any other standby items you wanted to talk about?
I mean, yeah, the Airbnb we stayed at was great. It was cool staying like a lodge kind of feel. There was I don't remember the exact name of it, but it looked, the ones we passed all seemed kind of similar.
Yeah, I'd recommend a cabin experience for sure.
Yeah, it was just nice. They had a hot tub there, so that was super cool.
That was really cool.
It was a nice place to chill after a long day of activity.
Absolutely.
So I would recommend that over a hotel, unless that's what's available or what you're into, if you really want to be in the center of Pigeon Forge. But yeah, I think the cabins are probably the way to go, just to get more of that like nature feel.
For sure. Brian, do you have any other questions?
Sounds like fresh air. I'm guessing lots of stars in the sky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Smoke coming off mountains. And
early morning.
Just gorgeous trails that kept you energized, you challenged, and a lot of Absolutely. Fun. Yeah. I can't wait to go. It's interview. It's interview. It's interview
with the local. We're here with Leon, who is the tourism director for the city of Pigeon Forge. Leon's been in Pigeon Forge for 32 years. Leon, thank you so much for coming on the Travel Agents Podcast.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to share with your listeners about Pigeon Forge and the Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Can you give us your background and where you're from?
Sure. I'm a native Tennessean. I spent all my whole life here except for 3 years while I was in the Army after I graduated the college. So lived my entire our life in the volunteer state.
Well, thank you for your service, first off.
Yeah, thank you. You're very welcome. It's my honor.
Well, we know our listeners are eager to hear from a local all about the Smoky Mountains. Can you give us your take on the Smokies?
Sure. The Great Smoky Mountains National Park is America's most visited national park. In 2019, they had 12 million visitors. The park is one of 14 national parks that has no admission fee, which is one of the reasons why it's such a popular destination for a lot of people to visit. And it's within a day's drive of 2/3 of the U.S. population east of the Mississippi River. So that makes it also very appealing to a lot of people. And it's one of the factors why we've been having a lot of traffic even during the pandemic.
Very nice. Now, when you're going to host friends or family who come to visit you out in the Smokies, what's your itinerary? Where are you going to take them?
Well, I love taking family and friends to the national park. I especially like taking first-time visitors into the national park because of its incredible scenic beauty. The park is huge. It's more than 520,000 acres. There's more than 800 miles of hiking trails in the park. As a matter of fact, there's 70 miles of the Appalachian Trail inside the national park. There's more than 2,900 miles of streams in the park. It's world-renowned for its diversity of plant and animal life, with over 1,500 kinds of flowering plants, over 100 species of native trees, and over 65 species of mammals, including almost 1,500 black bears, which everybody wants to see while they're visiting the park. But that's just sort of a brief overview there.
Have you come in contact with any animals you'd like to share about?
Oh, sure. No, if you're out hiking, I've hiked for lots of years in the park, and so you're going to encounter bears. So if you're out there, so it's always good to be in numbers of people, not be out there on your own. So they're more afraid of you than you are of them. So the big thing is to make as much noise as possible, stand up as tall as possible, and more than likely, as long as you're not between a sow and her cubs, you're going to be okay. They're going to take off running.
So, well, that's good to know.
I was just going to say, most people that come here want to see a black bear. They know that there are a lot of black bears here, and so that's one of the things that they really want to see. But of course, the bears are pretty much out in the morning and in the evening. They're not out in the heat of the day normally. So it's and of course, in the wintertime, they hibernate, so they're not out a lot stirring around right now either. So
I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the hiking, and I was curious if you had any favorite trails or trails that you would recommend to a first-time visitor to the Smoky Mountains?
Well, there's my favorite trail is sort of a strenuous trail. It's the Allengate Bluff Trail that goes from the Highway 441 up to the Mount LeConte Lodge. So it's a 5.5-mile trip one way, but it is a strenuous hike. You're climbing the whole time you're there, but there are lots of quiet walkways in the park. Just another favorite hike of mine is a fairly easy hike. It's the Abrams Fall Trail out of Cades Cove. It's only 5.5 miles round trip, so that's a great easy hike and through a beautiful area to a beautiful fall river, waterfall in the park. I would encourage any of your listeners to stop at the visitor center at it's called the Sugarlands Visitor Center, which is operated by the national park. If you're going into the national park to hike or visit, and it's an interpretive center, so I'd encourage any of those listeners to stop in there, because those folks can tell you everything you need to know about, you know, hikes and waterfalls and picnics and facilities and things of that nature. And it's an interpretive center. They have all types of flora and fauna there that you would see in the park. It's a very entertaining and interesting way to learn about Great Smoky Mountains National Park.
Wow. And is that inside Pigeon Forge, or is that on the outskirts of the city, closer to the
That's
the
actually park? Inside, just right inside the entrance of the National Park up above Gatlinburg there. Pigeon Forge is 7 miles north of Gatlinburg, and then Gatlinburg's city limits abut the National Park boundaries there. So it's right outside of Gatlinburg is where you go to the Sugarlands Visitor Center.
Awesome. Perfect.
Any word of caution to visitors coming out for the first time?
Well, the big thing for us is Pigeon Forge. Your listeners might be interested in knowing Pigeon Forge is really a tiny town. We only have about 6,238 permanent residents, but we have over 80 attractions in our city, including Dollywood, which is the most ticketed attraction in the state of Tennessee. We have over almost 15,000 lodging units in our city. Like I say, 90 restaurants. It's just there's so much here to see and do. Pigeon Forge is primarily its only industry is tourism. So we're all about tourism, and the destination changes. There's always something new, something different every season of the year here. So the big thing is just to go on our website. It's mypigeonforge.com and learn as much as you can before you get here. And we, of course, we have destination specialists that would be glad to help answer any questions people might have.
Hey, that's perfect. We'll have that listed in our itinerary or our travel guide. I was curious, what is one of your favorite things to do inside the city of Pigeon Forge?
Wow. There's so many fun things to do here. I love being, for a lot of our attractions, I'm their guinea pig. When they have a new opening, they want the tourism director to experience it first. And so we have an attraction here called Outdoor Gravity Park, which I don't know if you've heard of Zorbing before. It originated in Rotorua, New Zealand. But we have their only facility here in the United States where you get into an 11-foot high ball, which has a 6-foot high plastic ball inside that, and they put 10 gallons of water in it and they roll you down the hill. So I described it as being inside a giant washing machine rolling down the hill. It's just, you can't not do it and not laugh. It's just so much fun. There's just so many things like that we have here. Alpine coasters that go a mile and or so back into the mountains. It's just wow. That's the thing about Pigeon Forge. There are just so many unique and different type of attractions here, to do as well. So,
and do you personally carry bear spray?
No, I don't. I don't hike though without being in, a group of people. That's the main thing I've learned. Is if you're in a group of people, they're intimidated when they see a big group of people. And if you're making a lot of noise and screaming and loud and things like that, they're pretty much not going to mess with you.
Leon, could you tell us the best months to visit Pigeon Forge?
Sure. Good question. Great question. Pigeon Forge is pretty much a year-round destination. The busiest season of the year for us is the summer months, June, July, and early August. And that's when we primarily have families here. The spring season is a time when we have a lot of seniors and couples here. And again, it's a great time to visit because of festivals like Dollywood has a food and flower festival. There's all kinds of flowers in bloom in the spring. So it's a great time to visit. We have a very temperate, very moderate climate here. Then October, the fall foliage season is huge here for us, a very busy time for us because people come here to see the beautiful fall foliage and the decorations, fall decorations. And then we also are very busy in the wintertime. We this is the 31st year the city, three cities, Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, and Sevierville have done a major winter lighting program called Smoky Mountain Winterfest, and we put up between the three cities over 15 million winter light displays. Dollywood puts up over 5 million winter light displays. So it's busy a lot of the time. The slowest 2 months of the year, the 2 months, there's January and February that we're in right now. So last year we had over 7.1 million visitors in our city.
Oh, good for you. That's fantastic.
Leon, thank you so much for joining us today. Could you give us the website of the tourism board one more time?
Yes, it's mypigeonforge.com. Mypigeonforge.com. Mypigeonforge.com.
It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Leon. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Travel Agents Podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me to speak to your listeners and come see us.
That's the end of our show.
We're the Travel Agents. That's the end of our show.